Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome to this Friday edition of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. We are presented to you by our friends, of course, at FanDuel.com. I've been hinting at a FanDuel announcement, and I'm going to have one for you today regarding, the single entry series is going to return. So definitely check that out starting next week for NBA, but we also have lots of NBA and NFL coming up this weekend. We're going to talk some NFL as well before we head into the weekend, because the last good week of daily fantasy football next week, you've got the championship games. Maybe you take some flyers and some GPPs, but overall, not the most exciting or maybe best time to be playing DFS. But today on FanDuel, World Fantasy Basketball qualifiers, they're running two a day, it seems, most days, and I like what they're doing. Low dollar buy-in and then a higher dollar buy-in. And the low dollar buy-in, $5 will get you into that one. Larger field, of course, or you can go to the $300. And interestingly enough, as myself and I think it was Mr. Hoop talked about a week ago, FanDuel kind of upping the number of entries in that and supplementing the rest of the prize pool for the people who don't win. So first place, of course, wins you the trip to Miami for the finals, but they're paying out second through 29th hoop on a $300 buy-in. Are people listening to us? Are the suits at FanDuel actually listening to us?
I sure hope so, because it's definitely the right format. I mean, I think they're doing a phenomenal job, like you said, with the low dollar and the high dollar every single day. It gets everyone in play. You know, if you don't have the massive bankroll to get in the 300 or the 500 or the 1,000, they're going to have a 25, 10, 5, 2, whatever it may be. I think it's phenomenal. And then with the added money in there. So it's not an all or nothing type situation where, you know, you're sweating out like a $30,000 seat. Like you go from 30,000 to like literally nothing. It's brutal and it's tough. I mean, I've taken those hits. I know you have as well. And when you get to the end of the night and you realize, okay, I could have had a seat, but instead I got absolutely nothing. It's a hard pill to swallow. So hopefully this is what we see moving forward. I think it's the right perfect structure for Qs.
I do too. And the other reason to do it as well is because Qs are not like the most profitable thing, especially when we've got that really high dollar prize up top, like you talked about. Yeah. But you know, if you view yourself as a pretty decent, maybe profitable GPP player, probably kind of like yourself who doesn't attack them, but, you know, can usually do pretty well, but it's usually not mainly something that they're chasing. You might actually go after it a little bit more knowing like, hey, I could still be a profitable player in these queues, maybe without winning the queue, which before in years past, and especially when they, you know, crank up the value of the seats, that's really not the likelihood. If you don't actually win a seat, you're probably not profitable throughout this year. But when you look at it, the top 29 are close to doubling their money in this tournament. $5K on a $300 buy-in to second place. I mean, hell, that's almost as much as what they've got the value at, $7K? And I guess that's the minimum cash is $7K on the World Fantasy Basketball Championship ticket. But still, like $5K for second, that's awesome. And I haven't seen them do that in years past, so kudos to FanDuel.
Yeah, sure. Like I love the format. Just it's close to an ideal format, I'd say.
Good job. I'm glad they're listening. And if they're not, then I'm glad that they
they figured it out.
Smart. They figured it out themselves. But we do have exciting stuff at FanDuel, which we want to talk about right now. It's called the Single Entry Series. If you were around during baseball season and in football season, you might be familiar with this, but this is a concept that we kind of came up with, and we wanted to, you know, get involved with FanDuel to do it because people always love to, you know, not everybody, but some people are like, eh, multi-entry, it's unfair, you get more entries than everybody else. You know, let's see a single entry. Well, we said, let's do a single entry series because on any given day, one person can have a good lineup. But over the course of multiple days, multiple weeks in NFL's case, let's see who the best single entry player is. And that's what we're doing here. And this one's going to be pretty similar to the baseball format where we're actually going to be sending people to the live final in Miami. So here it is. Basically, starting next week on Monday, they're going to have single entry tournaments. You know, the one for next week is going to be the block. It's going to be the $2 buy-in. Now, what FanDuel has done is they up the ante. They up the size of these single entry tourneys. So they're usually larger than they typically are because, let's face it, they want as many people to play in this as they can. Now, the payouts on the single entry tournament or in the actual day-to-day tournament, no different than you normally have. But the cool thing about this is we're keeping a leaderboard on Roto Grinders, and we're going to tally up your scores throughout the 7 days that we run this. And your top four scores going to add up, going to compile. And if you are the leader after 7 days, if you are the winner and have the highest points after 7 days, your top four scores, you will win that trip to Miami to compete for $30,000 in prizes with the five other single entry series winners. So we're going to be running this for 6 weeks. It looks like a 2, a 25, a 10, a 100, a 5, and a $50 level. The first week is going to be $2. And again, that $30,000 is just added value to the prize pool. This isn't jacking up the rake even more and putting it towards that. This is all added value. And, oh, by the way, the runners-up in the actual weekly leaderboards are going to win tickets to future, you know, FanDuel tournaments, whether it's, you know, a ticket to the Monster or whatever. I think it's $3,000 a week that they're putting in extra tickets to give away to the runners-up on the leaderboard. So you have incentive to keep playing. 4 out of 7 is great, I think, too, because you don't have to play every day. We know that people have lives. We know that sometimes you're not able to play, but 4 out of 7, if you're in contention, you're best to be playing that. And Hoop, this is a format that I think has gained a lot of popularity with players, and I think that's why FanDuel continues to be open to running it with us here, and we're excited to put our name on it, host the leaderboard, and again, this is something that's open to everybody. You don't need to have to be a part of the Roto Grinders community, although we certainly hope you register with us and use our content and our tools, but you don't have to. And yeah. And I think it's great. And, you know, this is something that round three for us, first time with NBA, and I think it's going to be really, really popular. So what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I mean, the main complaint, I think, in the past with single entry tournaments is the fact that the prize pools weren't always that large. And, you know, people would look at a $25 entry level and say, okay, in the single entry, if I win, I can win $2,000. If I get in the big slam or whatever it is, I'm going to win $15,000. Most people are going to go to the 15, but for your bankroll, that's not long-term the right move. And to see these prize pools and these single entries up there where it can get people excited, it's awesome. And yeah, like you said, it's going to be at, you know, every buy-in level. It's not going to get to a point where it's going to absolutely break somebody, the highest being 109. So I love it.
Yeah, and you know, if you don't want to play, if you're like, man, I don't want to play that hundreds too much, you don't have to play that week. Again, this is on a week-by-week basis, so it's not like you've got to play 6 weeks of 7 days of games of single entry. Although, you know, if you're a really great single entry player, you think that, you know, your one lineup is better than other people's over the long term, it's probably a great tournament for you to play because it's going to be the biggest ones on the board. So probably throughout the entire season. And then those six people, again, are going to face off in Miami. So you'll get the trip. You'll get to experience what the live final is. And that's the other thing, too, because we didn't do that for football. We did it for baseball. And I talked to a handful of the guys who qualified for it, Hoop, and they really loved that component. They looked at it and said, you know, I'm not really one to chase qualifiers, especially at the lower dollar entries. You consider, like, you know, even though they offer them at $5 for today, but you got to beat 6,000 people to get into it. You know, this is an opportunity for people to score a potential ticket to a live final experience, play for $30,000, which doesn't suck. And on the $2 level, what your investment's $14 if you play every single day. Yeah. That's not bad.
No, it's awesome. Absolutely.
Thanks again to FanDuel for partnering with us again. And you'll see more specs on their site. You'll have the leaderboard on RG so you could see where you land. And it should be fun. Now, definitely the games, you know, if they fill, they're just going to be bigger. And that's what this is about as well. So thanks again to FanDuel. Look for that starting next Monday. We'll talk again about it on Monday morning's podcast. But wanted to get the momentum in place for single entry series for the NBA. It's awesome stuff. All right, Hoop, let's get moving into the game analysis here. We're going to start with NFL. We talked it last week. And lo and behold, yours truly with a nice performance last week in your playoff game. So let's see if we can't keep the karma, good karma going here again. And we're going to look at FanDuel this week. I will say I thought last week was pretty similar between the two sites. I mean, the one guy who stood out was Jordy, was a lot cheaper on DraftKings than he was on FanDuel. But this week, the guy who's priced very differently between the two sites is Le'Veon Bell, where he's coming in at $9,900 over on FanDuel, and I believe he's like 10-8 over there on DraftKings. Does that sound about right?
I think it's 10-5, but the pricing is a lot more. It's a lot tougher over there overall, so it makes that difference even bigger, I guess.
And then obviously we've got Zeke Elliott, who is the other kind of top guy this week. I've been having this debate with a few people out there. Most people are under the feeling of I'm just plugging both of these guys in and figuring out the rest. Is that your plan this week, you think?
On FanDuel, it's easy to do that, and it probably is going to end up making a lot of sense. On DraftKings, it's a lot more difficult. I mean, if you're plugging both those guys in, you're taking like three risky plays, I guess you could say, on FanDuel. If you go that route, you're probably only taking like one risky play, so it's probably easier, more worth it to go that route on FanDuel, on DraftKings. I'm just not sure at this point if that's the optimal way to go, because on DraftKings, there's a couple cheap running backs too. I mean, Devontae Freeman's pretty, what is he, like five? He's 5'9". Yeah, that's super cheap there. So I think you'll see a lot of similar lineups on FanDuel and not so much on DraftKings this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ownership percentage on DraftKings here. Chris Jamino does a really good job with those. And he's got Elliott higher than Bell on DraftKings, 42% to 40%. Freeman at 26%. On FanDuel, for example, he's got Bell at 56%, Elliott at 42%, and Freeman all the way down to 16%. I honestly think that 26% might actually even be low, because – remember, you can always play a third running back out there on DraftKings, and he just feels so, so cheap. I mean, this is the weird thing that, you know, I didn't really expect to happen here, but we've got Thomas Rawls 1,000 more than Devontae Freeman on DraftKings.
Yeah.
1,000 more.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Hoop, and you've been playing this game longer, as long as I have. When DraftKings put those funky salaries out there, you're like, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? And a lot of times, those funky salaries are funky for a reason. Their algorithm is really, really smart.
Yeah.
And that one stands out to me like a sore thumb. Like, who in their right mind would want to play Rawls, who literally has been terrible every single week, except last week, over a Devontae Freeman? And I think the answer is most people won't. And, you know, they've got Rawls at 12% in our ownership. That feels almost a little bit high. You kind of feel the same way on that? Like, that salary just weird.
It seems odd. And it's going to – Rawls will be low-owned. But like you said, a lot of times when we see things like this and it doesn't make sense to us, there's a reason behind it. And it almost – it seems to end up, you know – making sense when it's all said and done. So, I definitely take a look at Rawls in tournaments. I mean, out of all these running backs, I think he'll by far be the lowest. I mean, you're going to see people reaching for Bell and Elliott, rightfully so. And then you got the cheap guys. You got Freeman cheap. Even Spencer Ware is really cheap at 5.2K. So a guy like Rawls should be low owned. And I mean, he looked damn good last week. Deny that.
I mean, that looked like a first round fantasy draft pick last week. I mean, yeah. He ran as hard as I've ever seen him run. And it's not like Detroit is the worst rush defense in football by any measure. And he just ran right through them. Now, I think the worry in that game, of course, is if Atlanta gets a lead, we're not going to see a situation where they're going to, I think, be running the football with Thomas Rawls. The game script last game worked out perfect for them. Now, with that said, if they get a 7-14-point lead on Atlanta, absolutely, it's going to be a heavy dose of Thomas Rawls to try and grind clock, keep Ryan and Julio off the field. And let's face it, Atlanta's defense leaves a lot to be desired. But I think we can only reserve them for tournaments. But I'm just saying that just feels like one of those salaries that DraftKings has from time to time that makes you kind of scratch your head. And then afterwards, you're like, their algorithm's pretty damn smart, I guess. Yeah. And then on the flip side, the guy who just feels underpriced over there, Deion Lewis at 3.9, I think he's a cash game play on that site. I think I'm probably running three running backs out there, and I'll be surprised if he's not one of them. I really like him this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty cheap price tag for a guy that we've seen really involved in this offense, a favorite target of Tom Brady's. 3.9 seems cheap. I'm guessing it's because the insecurity or unsecurity of the workload here. Only 11 carries in week 17, only 2 targets, and I mean, hasn't seen over 5 targets in 4 straight games. But I mean, you have to realize the Patriots were kind of in cruise control, and they're a team that they knew that they're going to have the 1 or 2 seed for a while. And you know, Belichick's a guy that isn't going to put all his stuff out there. He's going to save some stuff. So I mean, this could be a situation where we see Lewis getting back to the 5 to 8 type target range and double digit carries, which would be just make him an immense value at 3.9K.
What are we looking at quarterback here? I mean, again, it's a really interesting week because it feels like Rodgers is fairly safe. Brady, you know, people are worried about him, but I don't know why. Like, he just gets 3 touchdowns. Like, and gives you 3 touchdowns, even if it's not 300 yards. If it's 250 yards, you're going to take it? Yeah. That's what he's going to do here in this game, I feel pretty confident with. And then you got Matt Ryan at home. You know, Wilson has not looked great on the road this season. Then I'm even hearing a little smattering of Alex Smith. And you know, we're not even Dak Prescott's the guy being totally overlooked against this Green Bay defense too. Quarterback's a tough spot this week. I'm not sure if there's anybody I feel super strong about. It's probably going to be one of my last spots that I'm rostering, to be honest.
That was exactly what I was just going to say. I mean, the sites did a really good job of pricing these quarterbacks appropriately. And I think it's one of these situations where in terms of like overall value, I think, when you take their price into account, they're all very similar type plays. So build your lineup, make some tweaks if you have to, but fill in quarterback last because they all project super similarly to me when you take their price into account.
Yeah, I mean, look at our ownership projection tournaments is amazing for FanDuel. 15 Rodgers, 12 Brady, 18 Dak, which I actually think is high. I'm surprised that they've got him at 18. Roethlisberger, 12. Wilson, 15. Ryan, 14. Even Alex Smith at 10. I think that's really kind of shows that they did a really nice job in terms of figuring out the salaries on those players. So the one guy I'm probably not playing is Ben. I just on the road is just too much of a trend for me to go there. So that's the guy I'm probably fading out right this week.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's the one guy. I mean, the numbers, there's a lot, a big sample size to back up his discrepancy between road games and home games. The Chiefs defense has been solid. The total here is lower than some of these other games. So yeah, he's the one guy that I'd definitely be willing to just go ahead and write off.
Interesting. Jimeno also has Dak as the clear-cut top guy on DraftKings at 22%. So Jimeno sees the steam on Dak, which is interesting because I really didn't. Let's move to wide receiver here. And Again, I actually think some of the high-end guys going to be maybe a little bit lesser owned because people are going to be reaching for the top running backs. So, you know, we've got Antonio Brown at 24%, Julio at 35% on DraftKings or on FanDuel. I guess those feel kind of right in terms of GPP projections. What's your feeling in terms of roster build this week? Do you think we need to get up and get one of those guys? I mean, I think Brown, Bell, and Zeke, it's not an easy thing to get in your lineup here this week.
Yeah, I think this is a lot of the spot where a lot of people just go ahead and avoid the top guys and really work hard to get Elliott and Bell in their lineup. So guy like Brown, Julio, I think will be lower than we typically see in tournaments. I mean, I love Julio. I think people will look to avoid him because Seattle's defense, you know, people still think is a thing, and it is at home, but on the road, it's not. So I really like a guy like Julio Jones in tournaments this week, even against the Seattle defense. But I think people are going to target the mid-tier guys. I mean, Baldwin's even up here on FanDuel at 7.9K, so I guess we could even throw him into that top range. It's hard. If you're going to play Elliott and Bell to get all the way up to this top tier, you're going to introduce another risky play. I said, you know, probably one risky play if you're going to go for Elliott and Bell. If you're going to get up to this top tier, you're going to probably introduce another risky play. So the mid-tier, people are going to look to the Green Bay guys. I think Jordy Nelson, haven't gotten an official word. I'm assuming he's probably going to be out, but that makes Adams, Cobb, and even Geronimo Allison guy interesting plays. You got Julian
Let's
Edelman.
Talk about Cobb real quick, though, because that's the guy right now who is looking like chalk. I'm seeing upwards of 40% on both FanDuel and DraftKings in ownership projections. And I don't buy it. I do not buy it, to be honest with you. The guys literally played one game. Yes, last game was impressive, but one of those came on a fluky Hail Mary going against a corner who was like fourth string.
I'm not
buying Randall Cobb chalk. I'm just not.
Yeah, I mean, the assuming Nelson's out, I mean, I'm guessing because the targets, which should
Adams.
Be there.
Give me Adams.
I like Adams more. I'm with you. I do like Adams more. So, I mean, there's just going to be a lot of work to go around, I guess.
It just feels like really reactionary that people would go and flock to Randall Cobb because he's been in this situation in the past and he hasn't flourished necessarily. Yeah. And, so I don't know. I'll be underweight on him. If he goes for three touchdowns, I won't be winning any GPPs, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Cheap guys for us. Again, Richardson still really underpriced there on both FanDuel and DraftKings. I think he'll kind of be a somewhat popular option. Any kind of off-the-radar guys? Because like you were mentioning Edelman, I think he's a really safe kind of play this week. I mean, he's going to get you probably like 15 FanDuel DraftKings points, and that's fine, cash games. But, you know, off the radar, anybody like under 10% owned that you think you might take a shot on?
Yeah, so like in tournaments, I think like guy maybe like Will Fuller's interesting because you have to imagine that the Texans will be playing from behind in this game, and they're going to give it a go all the way through to the end. So like at 5K, I think he's interesting. Even a guy like Sanu, I think, is interesting. Had a big game against Seattle last time out. Most people will be looking to Julio Jones, and you know, I don't mind Sanu. I think those are the guys for tournaments, for cash games. I mean, if you're in this range, like Richardson's underpriced. That's a good call there. But even a guy like Jeremy Maclin, I know his role was completely almost non-existent at the end of the season, but he's only 5.5K. Obviously has some history with Alex Smith. I don't think he's the worst play in the world, probably more a cash game play opposed to a tournament play, though.
Yeah, it seems a little bit of steam on Terrence Williams as well. I'm all right. I don't love it. Yeah. I'd almost rather take a shot on one of the Patriots guys, like Michael Floyd, for example. In the playoffs now, you know, Brady can definitely lean on veterans in this situation and scored a touchdown last week, had like six targets. I don't hate him. Malcolm Mitchell has been good, but he's still hobbled. You know, he's going to play probably, but he didn't practice, I think, all last week. So, I think Floyd, 4-6 on FanDuel, 3, let me see, I think he's in the threes over there on DraftKings. 3-8, and he's going to be under 5% owned. So he's going to be one guy. And I'm with you on Fuller. Like, it's just one play for him, and they're going to be playing from behind likely against the Patriots. So there should at least be some production maybe to be had on him. Quickly, tight ends. I'm on Jared Cook.
Yeah.
Everywhere. He's my guy this week.
Yeah. We saw last week, like, the opportunity cost at tight end was, like, non-existent. You could have taken literally a goose egg at tight end and been fine in cash games, which, I mean, I essentially did. I played the dude for the Steelers, and I think he got one catch for, like, 8 yards, and I still did fine. Same can probably be said this week. I mean, you have Jimmy Graham and Travis Kelce up top. But, yeah, a guy like Jared Cook, Nelson – I'm assuming Nelson's out. Is that kind of the assumption you have?
Yeah, I just saw something on SportsCenter this morning that said they have a 3-day plan and they should know more today on where he's at. So, I mean, I think it's even if he plays, like, you got to wonder how effective he's going to be with taking that shot. So,
So we saw 9 targets. I mean, even with Nelson, and you look at the 3 games prior to that, 8-5-8. Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football. He's 5.4K. So, even if you play this guy, Nelson's still in, you're not, like, it's not the end of the day. So I like him. Jason Witten at 4.9K. Fedorowicz at 5.2K in that range if you don't feel comfortable with Cook. I wouldn't be pulling your hair out at this position again this week.
No. I mean, I think Kelsey's playable on FanDuel because he's not that expensive. Actually, he is at 7-1, but I think DraftKings, he might even be more. I'll have to double check. But I don't see me going that route. I mean, I'm fine with it if you want to go Alex Smith and Kelce in a stack up in GPPs, but I don't really see a path to putting them in cash games today. I'd much rather save on a guy like Jared Cook. All right, that does it for NFL this week. Let's get into NBA and a pretty decent slate here. On this Monday, again, looking at the marquee tournaments on FanDuel tonight, we talked about the World Fantasy Basketball Qs. They also have the Power Slam. That's a $33 buy-in with $333 paid out. The shot at $3 tonight, $375, the total payout. And the Behemoth is back, 7 of 15 for the $10,500 buy-in. Yeesh, at least it's raked at under 5%. We'll give them that. All right, let's get into NBA for tonight. We'll go positional here, Hoop, and we'll start at point guard. And, you know, we've got we obviously have Russell Westbrook on the slate. We got a decent number of games. Hard to know value here at 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. But what do you feel about this matchup against Minnesota? I mean, 12-8, awfully pricey for him. And, man, it's just like – I know he's good for 50, but I almost wonder, like, is 50 even good enough these days at 12-8? Yeah. What's your thoughts there?
It's literally the same story. Basically, every slate with Russell Westbrook. The value is definitely there once again today, and I'm sure there'll be more that comes out throughout the day to make it work. But, and there is a lot of good plays, especially at point guard. I mean, I think there's just on my initial run through, I have like guys that I'm actually really interested in at the position. So when he starts getting closer to 13K, I mean, 12-8 is a big number, and if you're real. Realistically looking at, you know, a 5x multiplier, that's a lot of fantasy points that he needs to put up. The safest option in terms of fantasy production, I mean, it has to be a massive favorite to be the leading fantasy producer on this slate. So, if you can make it work and you think you have optimal lineup, I mean, certainly. I mean, he's the best fantasy player out there right now.
Yeah, but like you said, it's like – so many good options for us to potentially go to today. And, you know, let's kind of go into them here. Yeah. You know, price per point, guys, like, I'm looking at on our sheet. I'm going to start with a guy who I just feel is, like, underpriced here tonight. And that's Damian Lillard at home against Orlando on FanDuel at 8-3. This is a 9-2 guy, you know, and I know he hasn't played great those 3 games since the injury. I'll give him a pass on the last game. He came in. I don't even think they arrived until like the day of the game because of that lousy, you know, weather system. But look at this guy's salary. He was 9-7 consistently, 9-8 just a couple of weeks ago. We're getting him down at 8-3 here against Orlando. Just feels like, for me, a guy that I love buying low, and yeah. we're buying low right now on him.
Safe option at 8.83, a high usage player coming off the stinker. I think that's why they went ahead and dropped his price so much. But that was a game. I mean, they Cavs. So yeah. he, the numbers weren't there for fantasy purposes, but it's not like the team played poorly. So, yeah, 8.3K is just – that's one of those situations where it's just too cheap. The matchup's fine against Orlando. As long as this game stays competitive, I just don't see a way where this guy completely, like, screws your lineups.
Yeah, me neither. And that's why I think he's in play today. And what do you think of Kyrie here against Sacramento? The one thing that I took from that last game was Cleveland actually seemed a bit pissed that they got blown out by Portland. And I wouldn't be surprised. And they even mentioned Kyrie by name, like, we need to get this guy going yeah. offensively again. And, you know, he's back down now in the low eights, where we like him. And again, I kind of like the bounce back spot here against Sacramento. And again, the price isn't too high. It's not mega cheap, but it's very, very fair at 8K.
Yeah, I don't mind him. I'm not super excited. I actually prefer him when he's like under 8K. For me, yeah. though, I do love this spot for Cleveland. And, you know, if I'm betting on sports, I would put a lot of money on Cleveland to have their way in this matchup. But for me, I think this is like a LeBron game, and we'll talk about him when we get to small four. But in these spots, these bounce back spots for the Cavs, and they got embarrassed last time out against Portland. I want my Cleveland exposure with LeBron. Like I said, we'll talk about that at small four. But another guy here at the top, Isaiah Thomas. I mean, if they're thin again, Boston, with all those guys out there, like four guys out last game, I think he's interesting. And that game has a nice total. The spread is close. Just seems like a safe option if they're going to be thin again today.
Yeah, it's one thing, one of my big faults I have is as a player is like, guys get better. Like, Isaiah yeah. Thomas isn't a $7,600 player anymore. No. Like, he's legitimately an upper 8K and low 9K player. Like, deal with it. And yep. it's one of those things to, as a player myself, it's hard for me to get over. But the matchup here against Atlanta is really favorable. Schroeder is not a great defender. And, you know, he and Schroeder together could be kind of an interesting combo if you wanted to stack that game up. He's sitting at 7K. We've got him as our kind of top price per point guy early on this morning on the projections. I don't see, like, immense value at point guard necessarily. I think maybe we'll find that at other positions. Another guy I like is Kemba Walker today against Philadelphia. He's only 8,100. And, you know, if you think he's going to get 40, which I think he could easily get today, it's hard not to, you know, make him a potentially top flight guy tonight. And then, I don't know, anybody else? I mean, like, Conley got jacked up. Like, he was 7-2, and now he's 7-9. Yeah. You love the matchup versus Houston. I think he's definitely, like, squarely in GPPs for me, but yeah. at cash, I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, I'd probably just dropped down to this mid tier. I think got three pretty good plays. 6.2K against the Thunder. Marcus Smart, assuming, is Avery Bradley out?
I think he's out. Yes.
Yeah, he's out. So Marcus Smart, the minutes will be there. And kind of disappointed last time out, but I like the spot here for him to kind of bounce back. Yeah, you just look at the minutes, 30, 32, 38, 36. So, I mean, he should be mid-30s with Avery Bradley out. And then TJ McConnell just playing great basketball right now, and they're giving him the minutes over Sergio Rodriguez. And, you know, 36, 35, 37, 36, 34 has exceeded value in basically every single one of those games. So I like him a lot tonight, too.
Yeah, I'm probably not going there today.
Why not?
5,400. I mean, he got you 27 last game. Like, he's barely getting it. 27, yeah, 24.
Probably better suited for cash games, I guess.
Yeah, I don't. I just, like, there's just not enough upside at that number for me. Like, that 41 was an outlier. I think what we get is 28. You know, 29, 24, 27. We had that in 4 or 5. I think that's the number. And like at 5,400, like, it's okay. But I don't really see me going there today. I think he's, you know, about the same price on DraftKings it's looking too. So yeah. I just think things are catching up with him just a little bit. So I'm not a McConnell guy tonight. That's me.
All right.
Let's get to shooting guard here, where, again, the high-end guys, you got Harden and Antetokounmpo tonight. Harden gets Memphis. Not typically a great matchup, but this guy's pretty matchup-proof. Total at 215 here is good, not great. And then Antetokounmpo total at 204 against Miami tonight. Again, good, not great. But then we look to a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who gets, you know, just a tremendous matchup against Brooklyn, who night in and night out continues to defy how bad a team can play defense. And, you know, he's 9-4, which is a premium price tag. And kind of kudos to FanDuel. I think they realized that Brooklyn's bad on defense and they're, you know, kind of jumping some of the salaries of guys in that matchup.
Yeah.
You know, 9-4, like, if we project them at, you know, I don't know if Brooklyn's going to keep it close, though. That's the problem there. Like, if it's four-quarter game, he'll probably get 50. But if it's not, then, you know, he's probably not going to make it at 9-2.
Yeah, I think this is probably the toughest position on the slate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have James Harden in a bad matchup. You have Antetokounmpo coming off illness, didn't play, and then tried to play and only played 9 minutes. You get a game here for the Bucks. DeMar DeRozan's full price at 9.4K and a likely blowout. So it's tough. And honestly, you start kind of, I mean, just you look at the FanDuel page here. I mean, after those guys, there's like eight guys with the injury tag next to their name. So, I mean, you really just don't have many options at the position.
Yeah, I think Antetokounmpo, I'd probably get up and try and get him.
Yeah.
At 1,000 or Harden. I mean, one or the other. If you've got the extra 1,000, Harden's fine in this spot. But you're right. Like, there's nothing there. Like, I'm not even comfortable with Sean Kilpatrick at 4-1. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the price per dollar guy. Batum is back now. So, you know, but how healthy is he going to be?
Yeah.
So that's a worry. And he's not cheap at 7-5. I think Oladipo is probably a safe cash game guy. Would you agree? 5-7 there.
I like that. I like that price tag. The minutes will be there. Just matters if he gets the usage, you know, playing alongside Russell Westbrook. But, you know, this should be a very appealing DFS game, the Thunder Timberwolves. He's 5.7K. You're looking for, you know, 28-ish fantasy points for cash games. And, you know, he's not going to have an outing where he just completely kills you. Yeah. Not very likely, I guess I should say.
We got to keep our eye on the news with LaVine here tonight, whether or not he goes or not. Let's see. Fournier, I mean, he burned last game, 11 fantasy points. I wish he was cheaper, but there's not much cheaper that you like. Yeah. Like, freaking Tim Hardaway, no. Like, I'm not playing him. KCP is out for Detroit. Let's talk about that situation. Now, the matchup sucks against Utah. Darren Hilliard? I think he played 25 minutes last game. If Darren Hilliard would start at min's salary, I don't know. Right now on his player page, he will start in place of KCP tonight.
Yeah, worst possible matchup, will probably play 30 minutes. And the one thing with the Pistons, you know, they typically stick with their – I mean, they have a tight rotation, so there's not a lot of guys that are going to get the run there. I mean, they have 6-7 guys that will be, you know, 30 and above. So, I mean, but, you know, it's a situation where you know, when it's all said and done, you tell me he plays 35 minutes and – gets you like 12 fantasy points, I'd believe you.
Yeah, like the one thing I can say for him, at least this last game against Golden State, he wasn't afraid to shoot. He jacked up 12 shots in 26 minutes. So that's somewhat encouraging. So considering how bad that position is, who knows? So your stars and scrubbing it up. There's a scrub for you. Okay, let's get to small forward next. And this might be a spot we've got some value. But up top, let's start with LeBron. Sounds like you are all in on Team LBJ tonight, and at under 10K, I don't see why you wouldn't.
Yeah, the price is right, the matchup's right, and the spot is right. You know, just getting embarrassed last game against Portland. I mean, that's by far the worst performance they've had all season long, and I just think it's a good bounce-back spot. And when the Cavs are in a bounce-back spot, LeBron James is the guy I want.
Yep, and the salary, like if he's at like 11K, you're like, but not under 10. Like, we should be able to make that work today. And this is a spot where there's a number of guys. You know, the price per point guy that stands out potentially here in that matchup versus Brooklyn, talked about guys getting juiced up. Well, Damari Carroll didn't. Now, he's not a great player, but even against Brooklyn, you got to think this guy could get you 25 fantasy points at under 4K. Could be an elite value today.
Yeah, just a minute. This guy, I mean, as long as he's going to play, he does a lot on the court, you know, is an aggressive type player, and it's an ideal matchup here for him against the Nets, and the price is 3.8K, you know, so another situation where I just don't see a performance where the bust potential is super high. I mean, I think he's just a safe option, you know, play. Even in a blowout, he still probably plays 28 to 30 minutes, and that's enough to get it done with some upside added in there as well. So I like that.
Aaron Gordon, talk to me about him.
Yep. Still, I think, a little bit too cheap here. Obviously benefited last game with Ibaka out. I have not seen the news on Ibaka.
Said he played 3-on-3 yesterday, so I think feel pretty good about it.
I see. Yeah, so yeah, at 4.9, I like him. Jay Crowder, if Boston's thin again, I think he's a good value at 5.2K. We saw 34 minutes, and he plays the minutes either way. And, you know, we saw he got more shot attempts last time and scored 20 actual points, so at 5.2, like him. We got the situation with LaVine. If he's out, we saw Andrew Wiggins got the big bump. Safe option there. So yeah, it's a pretty loaded position actually. I think it's pretty similar to point guard in the fact that probably 8 viable safe type options.
Yeah, and I'm a little worried about Roberson defense on Wiggins, but you're right, the shots he's going to jack up are going to be there. So we'll see on that news. If in somehow, some way, Caris LeVert would start, it is a back end of a back-to-back for Brooklyn. I like his game enough to give him consideration today at 3-6 in this matchup versus Toronto. But I'd probably need him in the starting rotation or, you know, some news that comes out that ensures he's going to play more. Let me see here. I want to check his minutes because I could have sworn there we finally had an increase. Well, we did have an increase, probably not enough. I was looking at Chandler Parsons. He got up to 18 minutes last game. He gets Houston today. He's still min salary, but I don't think we can go there. He didn't do anything besides that. When he gets to like 20, 25 minutes, there's going to be a day where you can get Chandler Parsons for min salary. And he does have Houston revenge potentially on his mind. Didn't he play for them for a while? So.
Yeah, like you said, though, eventually he's going to start creeping up and his price is going to remain at the bargain level. So there's going to be a point where he's going to be a solid value play.
Yeah, and if you were picking MKG or Harkless at 4-7 tonight, which one would you prefer?
I'll take MKG.
I'm with you against Philadelphia. Okay, power forward next. Let's move on. And, again, we like the Cavs tonight to have a good game. So Kevin Love under 8K. I'm fine with him in this matchup. And then let's see the other high-end options. Millsap against Boston again. I mean, this game has shootout potential here. I don't think Boston's playing particularly good defense. And he always seemingly gets there. It's not always the prettiest, but he gets there at the end of the day. So he is fine on the high end. The middle tier, though, again, this is a spot where people are going to be looking. And I think a lot of people are going to roster Derek Favors tonight at 4-7. You trust him enough for your cash games. Oop.
Well, I played him, oh gosh, was it like last week when he scored like 8 fantasy points? That wasn't fun.
Against Memphis.
Yeah, so like that was a spot where he was pretty popular, chalky, and completely busted, but I think that was kind of outlier performance. Minutes on the rise here, the price hasn't really, 4.7K, I think I'm fine. The guys at the top, I think, are super safe. Like Millsap and Kevin Love, I do like quite a bit. But this is a spot where it kind of just comes down to roster construction. You know, what can you do with this power forward position? If you can get up there, I like both those guys quite a bit. I mean, the matchup for Millsap's great. The matchup for Kevin Love is great. They're, you know, right around 8K, both of them. So if you can get up there, I like them. Aminu is a guy I've been riding lately, and the price has finally caught up. He's now 5.8K, probably a little bit too much for him. But, I mean, he's been producing, you know, even at that price tag. So, you know, pass on him. But, yeah, Favors is interesting. I like Dang still at 5.3K. The minutes have been on the decrease the last couple of games, but I think, you know, he gets back into the upper 30s, so I'm fine with him. Not a ton here at this position, actually, so maybe it might make sense to go ahead and try to get up.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you wanted to pair one of those two guys with Favors, that might be all right. I just don't know if there's anybody else I feel overly confident about. I mean, Cantor's fine. Like, he should play a good amount of minutes. Let me see if it's last game versus Minnesota, because I'm bring up the logs here. Last game versus Minnesota, he played 29 minutes and got you 29 fantasy points. And he's been, I mean, 30 or more in 4 or 5. Yeah. And, I mean, we just know he's going to produce in that second unit. Yeah. Like, they've got nobody else. So, I actually like him better than Jang, I think. I don't know. You like Jang, don't you?
I always play him, but I am. But, yeah, you know, just looking at the game log now a little bit more, like the minutes, it's kind of all over. Dropping. It seems like he's way up close to 40 or mid 20s. So, you know, I guess maybe a little more risky, but he's only 5.3K. So, I guess he's fine. I don't know. I guess looking at this position a little bit more, I don't like it a ton.
All right, let's get to center. And, man, Steven Adams, I still think is just too cheap here. I don't know what this guy has to do to get priced where he needs to be. I think he's a $6,500 player, but he's at 6K again, and he's steady. 29, 32, 34, 28, 38, 40. Decent enough upside for the price. The minutes are so locked in for him.
Yep.
The matchup versus Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't worry me so much. I think, like, on a day where, you know, I mean, there's going to be some value pieces probably open up, but, man, that just seems too cheap price per point at that spot for me to not.
Yeah, it's like one of those situations you talked about earlier where he's a guy that we typically like paying, like, 4.8K, 4.9K for Steven Adams, and now he's kind of at his peak in terms of price at 6K, but talking about Isaiah Thomas before, that's who it was. But yeah, I mean, he's been producing at this level consistently, and the minutes are there too. And he's a guy that, you know, I've played quite a bit at center, and the results have definitely been there. I mean, you look at the last, you know, handful of games, 6 games, he fantasy points and has like 40 fantasy point upside mixed in there too. So I think he's a safe option.
Yeah. I mean, there's on DraftKings, I might play a couple centers here. Because there's definitely some guys who I think are in pretty good matchups. And one guy that played him the other night and he did not disappoint, and that was Whiteside. And looking at his last game against Milwaukee this season, went for 49 fantasy points in just 29 minutes, had 17 rebounds. And this is the one thing that Milwaukee doesn't do well is rebound the basketball. The one thing Whiteside does really, really well is rebound the basketball. I feel like, you know, Boogie is not overpriced at 10-1 tonight by any extreme, but I think it's still Whiteside over him if I'm looking at, like, price per point today. If I'm paying up, I think I like him a little bit better. What do you think?
Yeah, ideal matchup. I mean, he'll crush whoever Milwaukee throws at him. I mean, Greg Monroe out there getting more minutes, I think that's just phenomenal for Whiteside's upside. He would crush Greg Monroe down low. So I love this matchup for him. Just a matter if you can, you know, get the salary worked out. Another guy, Al Horford, if Boston's thin again, I mean, it just really stabilizes his role. And I think he would be a pretty safe option if guys like Amir Johnson are out again tonight. In terms of cheap guys, I'm not seeing a ton.
5-5?
Yeah, I mean, interesting.
I mean,
the matchup's great. Matchup, so. Yeah, it's just a matter of the minutes. I mean, what type of – are we going to see him close to 30 or are we going to see him in the low 20s? But, yeah, I think he's fine at 5-5. In situation, again, Olynyk is a guy that we could look at. Didn't do a ton last game, but he got there in terms of hitting values. So just another situation to keep an eye on.
And let's not discount Dwight Howard. He's been all over the map for sure. 76 is not too much of a price tag to pay, but he's been just dominating the glass. I mean, look at these logs, Hoop. It is impressive to see what he's done, you know, rebounding here. And again, against Boston, pace up game. It seems like there's, I don't know if there's bad blood between him and Bossman. It seems like, I don't know what the narrative is between him and that team, but again, kind of fits in that middle tier. And this might sound off, but I think I'm on team Howard over Embiid today at just 200 cheaper. What do you think between those two?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, it certainly is. I mean, I like that Boston game, that Boston Atlanta game, I think has sneaky, you know, sneaky upside. You know, both these teams are going to want to win the game, so I think the starters get some extra minutes. But Embiid's starting to get up there, and you know, the 28 minute limit on him kind of caps, you know, the upside. But yeah, that's a tough one there.
Yeah, I mean, Embiid's good, don't get me wrong, just that little bit of the foot injury. I mean, Philly, pretty emotional win for them last game back at home, so we'll see. I mean, I don't hate Embiid, but I just think I'm Howard over him today, but it's close. And then we didn't even talk about Vucevic, who's actually top price per point guy on the slate on the projections at 10:30 this morning. We got him at 35. I guess that's right for 7K, but it just feels like there can always be a path where it doesn't go right for Vooch, because you know he's not going to play 35 minutes. Like, it's harder. You know, things have to go right for him to get there, and they've gone right the last couple games.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard, I guess, to pay. It's just not it's not a comfortable feeling paying 7K for a guy coming off the bench. You know, that's a lot of money for a guy coming off the bench, and I think that's the drawback. But you look at the production, and it's been there, and I think he becomes a much more viable play if Ibaka is out.
Yes, absolutely. I do agree. All right, we are done for today. Before we say goodbye, got to say a quick thank you to my friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. That's right, Rocket Mortgage. It's important when you're making those big life decisions. I would say getting a mortgage is a pretty important one, to trust somebody, to find a company that has your best interests in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you're going to get that transparent online process, gives you confidence to make that informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Rocket Mortgage, you can easily, securely share your financial info to get the mortgage approval that you're looking for in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to get the mortgage that solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance an existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. You can skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/roto. That's quickenloans.com/roto, equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Boop, good luck to you this weekend, man. Thanks so much for jumping on. We'll chat again next week.
You as well.
And again, thanks for listening, downloading the podcast. Check out Grinders Live tonight and all weekend long for more great content leading you up to tip-off. I'll be back on SiriusXM tonight with Beer at 6 Eastern. For my buddy Mike, I'm Dan. We will see you.